Because I was just going to mention, like, Bowling Green needs it more.
It is the most important thing going on in our show, right, the heart of the rivalry. Right. We have a rivalry.
I know.
We have it.
I know. That's kind of exciting.
What do you think? How do you think the show looks, Dave? Hat? No hat?
I like that.
You like the style?
Gives a casual look.
Like the style?
I like it.
Ball coach style? All right.
That's the lead in.
We're in week.
Not starting until now. LeBron and Bronny are playing tonight. Wow, that'll be awesome.
LeBron and Bronny play tonight. That will give away that we're recording this early this week on a Tuesday.
They're kind of treating this like a fantasy camp or like make a wish for like this kid to be in the NBA. Like he should not be in the NBA.
He's athletic.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good player.
I think he would be drafted. I don't know about – that's probably true.
He wasn't even a good player in college.
He would probably still be in college, and he would be a periphery NBA talent.
Maybe, yeah.
He'd be looked at as a role player, which he is now, but he just has media coverage because he's Bronny.
Right. And LeBron runs the team, which I respect.
He does. Speaking of running the team, LeBron may run the Lakers – but David Briggs runs college football. You are listening to The Heart of the Rivalry. We are here in week 8. He's the Toledo Blade sports columnist covering all of sport, but The Heart of the Rivalry covers just your most important college football rivalries of
Northwest Ohio
and Southeast Michigan. We cover Ohio State, Michigan, Bowling Green, and Toledo. I'm your co-host, Phil Kaplan, and we are in our first rivalry week on The Heart of the Rivalry.
This is awesome.
UTBG, it is a BFD. What do you think?
What does that mean?
Big
friggin' deal.
Yeah.
It absolutely is. It's awesome. Thank God the game is finally back on a Saturday. We're going to see campus in its full splendor, packed house. I think I heard today there's less than 1,000 tickets remaining. If they keep selling them, they might have to take the tickets away from Bowling Green's band and sell even more of those. Maybe that's the next step in this band drama. But no, it's going to be 3:30 game. It's perfect time. It's sandwiched nicely in between Ohio State at noon, Michigan at night, so there's no excuses for people not to be there. BG Toledo has the stage to itself. Tailgating lots will be jumping. Stadium, again, will be full. This is college football at its best. Just an awesome community celebration.
So UT is coming off a hard-fought slugfest against NIU. And BG is coming off what is appropriate, a runaway from Kent State. What do you see from both teams coming in to face each other?
Well, I see both teams have been a little uneven. You know, we've seen the highs of Bowling Green from, I guess the highs are actually their losses at Penn State.
And Texas A&M.
I mean, nobody has had more moral victories in Bowling Green this year.
Your SEC leader, Texas A&M.
So... yeah, they lose their MAC game, so then they look kind of bad at Akron, I would say, and they come home, look bad against Northern Illinois, and then they right the ship a little bit against Kent State. Some of that's the opponent, Kent State's worst team in the MAC, but they get their quarterback back. Possibly the country. They get their quarterback back, Connor Bazelak.
He threw for 300.
Yeah, he's a good player, and when he's on. So this is a big stage for them. Toledo is... defense is, well, if you look at the stat line from that Northern Illinois game, you would have thought Northern probably won by 2 touchdowns. I think they had 10 more first downs, bunch more yards. But Toledo defense bent but didn't break, did not allow a single touchdown, 6 points at Northern Illinois in just a huge game. Before the season, you might say Miami and at Northern Illinois were their 2 toughest games, and they've won them both. They obviously sandwiched that no-show at Buffalo in there.
Which we're blaming on the stadium, the Poltergeist Stadium.
But anyway, long story short, both have good teams. This is the first time since 2015 that the teams will meet with both teams having legit MAC championship shots. BG's obviously been very down for the last 7 or 8 years, kind of building back up. And we can get back into what this means for them, but this is a BFD.
It is. And I want you to know that I took in the UT-NIU game in a very classical fashion. I was by the shoreside. It was a beautiful Saturday day here in Northwest Ohio. I listened to it on the radio, the home UT call, while I was just laying in the grass and playing frisbee with my dog.
Okay, nice.
It was so splendid.
Did you hear Mark Byers' touchdown Rockets?
It was awesome. And I want I want you to know who stood out to me is we've talked about him a couple times. But Connor Wallenzak
had
some big time runs, and the announcers couldn't be more impressed with his effort every time he touched the ball.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. Perrysburg kid, second year at Toledo. He was awesome at Perrysburg, and now he's kind of, you know, become a little bit of a, well, revelation is the wrong word. We knew what he is, but he's showing what he's got at Toledo here. And Toledo's top two running backs,
Willie Shaw. I think we can still be impressed by what he's doing, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. Toledo's top two running backs, Jacques Stewart and Willie Shaw, are both out. And they both might be out this week, too. So, yeah.
More huge, touches for
huge,
Connor.
Huge stage for Connor Wallenzak. And he's, he was excellent on Saturday.
This could be a running back feature game because Tyrion Stewart for BG had another $125.
Yeah.
And like I said before,
he's as good as it gets.
He's stacked bowling balls. Mm-hmm. He does not seem like somebody who would be fun to tackle.
No, I think Toledo or BG probably has the two best players in this game, at least offensively, with Harold Fannin, who might be the best tight end in the country.
He had a bunch of good plays also. He absolutely crushed
Toledo in the first half last year. Toledo kind of found some answers in the second half last year in its comeback over Bowling Green. But Harold Fannin and Tyrion Stewart, probably the best running back in the MAC, one of the best group of five backs. Reminds me a little bit of that awesome runner at Boise State, Ashton Gentry, who's kind of going after Barry
Sanders. He's the Midwest Ashton Gentry. Yeah.
He's the Midwest's. He's the slightly poorer man's Ashton Gentry. Awesome.
Second shelf.
Awesome player.
Still a great player.
He's as good as it gets in the MAC, and he'll be a bear.
Okay, so this is our A1 segment. Ohio State was off, but before we get out of here and go to the halftime, Michigan did have 32 passing attempts. They did get smoked by Illinois, though, who was wearing cool 1920s throwback uniforms. Maybe Michigan threw it 32 times just to prove that they weren't a 1920s offense. What'd you think about that game and the emergence of Jack Tuttle and the run and the chuck and duck?
Yeah. Fortunately, I did not get to watch much of that game.
Fortunately.
Because that was, another debacle for Michigan. And you're looking ahead on their schedule. They're 4-3 right now. It's honestly a little bit difficult to see them getting to bowl eligibility. I know that there's probably a little bit of
You're really tabletopping them now. The poor Wolverines.
The only win on their schedule that you can say that you can probably circle now is home against Northwestern. I mean,
you're talking about the kids' alumni.
Who do you root for when Ohio State plays Northwestern?
I root for Northwestern to have a more complete game plan and for Ohio State to win.
That's nice. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you're playing at Indiana, you're playing Michigan State this weekend, who just had a big win against Iowa. Obviously, Oregon, that's probably a loss, Ohio State. So I don't know. I kind of think they'll lose to Michigan State. I know they'll lose to Oregon. Think they'll probably lose to Indiana. And I mean, God, if Ohio State loses to this Michigan team, you might as well just burn the program down.
In this first year of the expanded playoff, what are your like mid-December bowl games? I remember always making fun of referencing in comedic fashion the USFNG Weed Eater Bowl. That was always one of my favorites. The Poulon Weed Eater Bowl.
I mean, all the bowl games will be the same. You just have more teams in the playoff. You'll still have all the normal MAC bowls, the Boca Raton Bowl, the Bahamas Bowl,
the
Jamaica Bowl, the France Bowl.
Is it too early to predict a good matchup for Michigan in their 6-6 bowl game?
Well, maybe they'll play...
Mish-Cal?
Maybe they'll play like Toledo or Bowling Green in the Motor City Bowl. Both teams. That would be fascinating to see how many fans Michigan would take to the Motor City Bowl. Because, I mean, that would be like the spot for like the 10th or 11th Big Ten team.
And
that'd be a nice vacation for the kids. I mean, obviously, you didn't win the national championship, but you still had fun and played hard.
You got to go to downtown Detroit.
Had fun, played hard. And, you know, at the end of the day, you went to a bowl game. They went to bowl games last year. They probably will go to a bowl game this year. Pretty similar seasons.
Hopefully their band will be able to go. In this edition of the halftime segment, We are revisiting the BG UT game.
Still, UT has not changed its mind. Bowling Green's marching band will not be playing at halftime.
And they should busk outside the stadium. They should all get busker's license and they should play outside.
Yeah. I mean, why not a rogue halftime performance in the lot 10?
Oh, that would be so good. I mean, the band. That would be so good. It's just a little, just 400 people playing their instruments.
No, absolutely.
NBD.
For sure.
In the BFD game.
I love this time of year. You know, you start in the sun, and then the game ends as the sun is setting, and it's kind of the lights come on, and just I love that. I love that that big game 3:30 mid fall.
A lot of times, you get some of the dew that starts in the evening falls. Right.
The lights glistening off the helmets as the second half starts.
It is crispy, man. It's nice. I love it.
But the irony and hypocrisy of CBS Sports Network not choosing the game is just too rich to ignore here. Every year, ESPN, which has the TV deal with the MAC, and CBS Sports Network is one of the same, obviously two different companies, but ESPN sublicenses games to CBS Sports Network as part of the MAC deal. So when you think of CBS Sports, just think of ESPN as part of the same TV deal. But anyway, every year, Toledo and Bowling Green have to beg ESPN to not have the game on a Tuesday or Wednesday night and to let them have it on a Saturday every once in a while. And finally, for the first time in 5 years, the game is on a Saturday. And what happens? The franchise, the Bowling Green-Toledo rivalry game that we're told is so important that it always has to be on national TV, they have the chance when both rivals are league contenders for the first time in forever, and they pass it up for Ohio-Buffalo. And no disrespect to Ohio-Buffalo.
Buffalo
again! That's not, I wouldn't associate that with any interesting game that the country would want to see. And I'm only saying that because that's what they have told us. They tell us Bowling Green Toledo. I've sat in like scheduling meetings where they try to explain to us how they put the MAC schedule together and explain it's not just chimpanzees pecking away at the keyboard blindly. The thing with the MAC TV deal is that people just want to watch football. Like, the games are pretty much interchangeable. Like, to ESPN, Bowling Green Toledo is just another game for the person from Football Anonymous in Boise, Idaho to watch, or for the gambler in Bessemer, Alabama to have on TV.
Color-coded time slot.
It's low-cost inventory to slap on the air. You could play Laredo Junior College versus, I don't know.
They run a wing team, they do have a good team. It's nice.
Versus Tiffin Barber School, and people would watch
They've really fallen off.
If you put it on ESPN, people will watch it. There will be a spread.
They would.
People will watch it.
They would.
So to ESPN, it is just another game. Well, to our communities, it is not just another game. I mean, it is awesome. When you have it on a Saturday.
It's the battle of I-75.
Yeah. When you have it on a Saturday, I mean, the stadium will be full. It's just students are, I mean, I don't know. It's this topic always gets me riled up because it's just so absurd to me that the taxpayers, the students, the students, the boosters,
we
the fans.
We have gone far afield
the
here.
The students, the boosters, the fans who subsidize MAC football. At the end of the day, you know, all these schools are losing money on sports. So what are they? They're a front porch for the school. They're a showcase. They're to bring these communities together. They're to, and if you're kind of snubbing the people who most enjoy and support your product, leaving them in the cold for a nominal TV deal. Like, what are we even doing?
Okay, welcome back to the Heart of the Rivalry. This is our scouting segment where we look ahead to what our teams are doing this week. We're going to go back to BG coming to UT.
I think it's interesting to look at, like, who needs this game more? It's very important for both teams in just the micro sense. You know, they're both 2-1. Whoever wins this game will have the tiebreaker and have the inside track to get to the MAC championship game in Detroit. So start there. The stakes are huge this season. These are two of the top teams in the MAC. But when you look at the broader sense, I kind of think, and not that BG will play any harder because of this, because this is, you know, this is big picture stuff, but BG just needs this in the kind of the put up or shut up sense for Scott Loeffler era at Bowling Green. This is his sixth year as coach. He kind of came in touting the, he's going to follow the trajectory and the model of Dave Clawson, one of their former coaches who, you know, had three rebuilding years to turn it over and recruit your guys and instill your culture. And, you know, there's going to be some rough spots at first, but by year four, you're going to be a winner. And by year five, you're going to be contending for a MAC championship. Clawson won in year four, then won a MAC championship and went to a bowl in year four, then went to won the MAC championship in year five. So that's kind of what Scott Loeffler has been selling. Well, Bowling Green has been to a bowl the last 2 years, but this was supposed to be the year, or is supposed to be the year, where they take the next step. Loeffler has always said, you know, we just need to get old. We need to get old. Well, now they're old. They're one of the older teams in the MAC, one of the older teams in the country, probably. Very experienced on the lines. So if you're not gonna get it done this year, you would start to wonder, well, when are they going to get it done? Whereas Toledo and Jason Candle have built up a little more equity. They're coming off a top 25 caliber season, played in the MAC title game last year, won the MAC title the year before. Obviously very big for Toledo as
lost
well.
Lost to BG last year, though.
Well, they beat BG last year, lost to them the year before.
Okay.
They've traded thrilling comebacks. So huge for both teams, but I would say just a little bit bigger for Bowling Green. That being said, I think this is a very even game. And I would give Toledo the edge, just playing at home in what should be a great atmosphere. But yeah, it should be awesome.
So UT by
one.
By one. Yeah. Wow. I'm going to take
a 28-yard field goal at the buzzer.
I love it. I'm going to take BG in a burner.
Okay.
I'm going to say BG
I can see it.
In like a 38-32.
Yeah.
You know what happens to Toledo?
Nothing would surprise me. If Bowling Green blew out Toledo, I'd be like, okay, I can see it. If Toledo blows out Bowling Green, I think it'll be a close game, but nothing would surprise me. It's so much about momentum.
Do you know what happens in these games? A missed extra point, a safety, a half dozen field goals. These are those games that you get weird scoreigami.
Yeah.
This is your like 36-32 game.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
We're going to get a scoregami. Is that your prediction?
I believe it's going to be an off-kilter score.
I wonder, what would it take for college football? Scoregami is a term that has been kind of used in the NFL to celebrate scores that have never happened. So each time there's a new score, like
a Browns 60, game.
61 to 59, it'll
19-5.
A scoregami. Yeah. That has never happened in NFL history. Obviously, there have been a million more college games over the course of time.
Sure.
So I don't know what, I wonder what it would take to have a scoregami in college. It would probably be like 73 to 59.
I was
it's
just
like,
going
to
say.
Maybe. But that probably has happened in like the Sam Houston State.
I think the North Carolina James Madison was kind of a scoregami. Wasn't it 70 to 50?
Right.
That's an odd score.
For sure.
Okay.
But there's probably been a MAC game like 12 years ago that was 70
to
50.
The volume of games is just so much greater.
It's absurd.
You have to sort of say it for within the school's history.
Sure.
So I think this could be a scoregami for BG UT.
2-0.
2-0. You heard it here first. You heard it here first, folks. So I'm a little disappointed that I'm actually going to be out of town for this game, but am excited because I'm going down to Columbus to see Ohio State play Nebraska and see my old running crew of Ohio State graduates. Just an important distinction I like to make, that they are graduates.
Oh,